Pardon the interruption. This might be important.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent. We need a response team.
We're already putting together the best men. With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan. It's a plan. It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike and Eric.
What a bunch of losers.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, it can be exactly what we need.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
I have indeed been uploaded, sir. We're online and ready.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. It is Mike, your host. Joining me, as always, every week is Eric.
What up?
And also joining us this week, which you'll be the first time, not the last, our agent in training. He does know about his
response. We like to call him the unaltered clone.
He does know about bathroom duty, right?
He's about to.
Excuse me?
That voice you hear is Mac. How you doing? How you guys doing tonight?
Good, you?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. We're ready to talk some Marvel, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm sure we're going to hear more Mac off and on throughout the summer.
Probably.
So, I guess right off the bat, first off, Mac, you're how old?
12.
12. So, you find Jennifer Lawrence kind of cute?
Katniss.
Mystique.
Hunger Games.
I have never watched Hunger Games because we don't have it here anymore.
Okay. Mystique. You remember from the X-Men movies?
The blue chick in the X-Men movies.
Oh, that Mystique.
Yeah, you could say actress name, you could say character name, but all you got to do is just say the blue chick in the X-Men movies. Boom, we're there.
Well,
you think she's cute? It's okay to say yes here, son.
Pass.
Hence why agent in training.
Yeah.
Well, apparently at the moment, we say at the moment, because money always talks, I'm sure, X-Men Apocalypse might be the end of the line for Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique. According to comic book resources... it's been reported that Nicholas Holt has talked about the future of the franchise. And it doesn't seem to be much of a future with him. I know Jennifer Lawrence has pretty much said the same thing, that she's pretty much done after X-Men Apocalypse. So, I mean, that's two actors leaving after the apocalypse. Doesn't fare too good.
No, it doesn't, but considering how many people have been X-Men,
true.
I don't think that's too terrible of a setback. Now, with Lawrence, you could probably say, well, you know, she's in demand. She's probably going to want more money. She's going to be an expensive cast member to keep. So that's probably where some of that's coming into play. But like you said, you know, money talks, and if Fox comes up with enough money...
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I'm sure she'll do it.
And I'm sure they'll throw it, too. Now, Holt said, this is the last one I'm signed up for, noting that the end of his contract isn't an internal deal breaker for him. The first one did so well, and Days of Future Past got received so brilliantly. It's like, wow, people want to see the films. And the best thing is, it's a great crew and cast to work with, and he's a fun character. I've had a good time playing him, so I'll keep making them. But he was also quoted in saying that this would also be his last film in the period piece trio, and will focus more on Beast's relationship with Mystique as First Class did. So, kind of going back to the love story a little bit. And of course, that's going to lose Max's interest, because he's not into the mushy. It's okay. Amazing, you could say it. Amazing Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man 2. Those were chick flicks, not superhero films.
You gonna agree with him on that, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to agree with us.
It's okay to disagree with us,
especially when
as well.
We're right. It's okay to disagree with us too, but that's only when we're wrong.
And we'll let you know when we're wrong. So, so I guess the question comes up: does the X-Men franchise need Mystique and Beast after this, or do they offer up solo films for the two characters? Do they go with, you know, bringing Gambit back in and bringing Deadpool in to the series, into the franchise?
Well, funny you should mention Deadpool, and who is Mac's favorite comic book character, as a matter of fact. Today, going to drop him off, because he's on spring break this week, which is why he's here for the recording. We got the Deadpool quiz, or I got the Deadpool quiz, because, like I said, this is his favorite character. Well, he should be happy to note then that after years in development, production has finally started on the Deadpool movie.
Which I do want to see.
Yes, I know you do want to see it. Ryan Reynolds, who starred as Deadpool in X-Men Origins Wolverine, he will be back to play the Merc with a Mouth. And right now, he is he's appearing on the screen as attorney Randall Schoenberg in Woman in Gold. And that is it's a historical drama. It tells the true story of Jewish refugee Maria Altman, who, together with Reynolds' character, fought the government of Austria for almost a decade to reclaim an iconic painting of her aunt after it was confiscated from her family by the Nazis just prior to World War II. But that's not really what we care about right here. We care about what he's doing with Deadpool. He was quoted, he sat down with the Huffington Post, and he said, we can't believe that somebody cut a check to let us make this movie. He said, although it is the fact they cut a very small check because it doesn't have the catering budget of most X-Men movies, but it's still cool. I bet you they served chimichangas on that.
Maybe.
He said, we're just at the crest of our first week, so it's been amazing. He said, it's been a long time coming, but it doesn't come with that kind of attitude. A core group of people have been developing this for the last 5 years, and we're all just very giddy at this point. He's pointed on the limited budget. Hopefully this is a break. Well, this is definitely a break from the last two superheroes movies that he's been a part of, Green Lantern and X-Men Origins Wolverine, where they had huge budgets, but they also flopped kind of heinously at the box office.
Bad script.
Yeah, well, right now, Deadpool, Reynolds, he jokes that he's wearing his own clothes on set to save wardrobe money. So that kind of tells you what the level of budget funding is for this. He also goes on to say that this Deadpool movie will not be like some superhero movies where there are a lot of creative compromises. He says they are making a movie that they hope will appeal to the hardcore fans as much or more than the casual viewer. That's interesting to hear, because usually when you make a superhero movie, you make it for the masses who don't know who this character is.
Right.
That does not sound to be the case here. He says, quote, we've got a director that understands the world and writers with a slavish devotion to the canon of that character. That's the most important aspect. It's made in a way the most critical of fanboys could embrace, or at least that's the hope.
Right.
Well, I guess that we will find out on February 12th of 2016, because that's when it is scheduled to premiere in theaters.
Cool.
You looking forward to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, talking about Deadpool, of course, there's been a lot of talk about Marvel and Sony and Spider-Man. Cinema Blend brought to us an article talking about Marvel Spider-Man movie will feature Peter Parker, and here's the proof, according to them. Ever since we learned that Spider-Man was swinging his way back to Marvel to join the cinematic universe, there's been debate. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be Miles Morales? Is it Peter Parker? Is it someone new? For decades, the lone identity of the Amazing Spider-Man has always been Peter Parker. Decades. Can't say that enough. Decades.
Multiple decades.
So when fielding questions from the fans on his popular Tumblr account, Marvel's chief creative officer, Joe Quesada, was asked, lucky you.
Long time ago.
I would love to. He was asked if he has seen any visual concepts or early designs for the 2017 Spider-Man movie, now on Marvel's slate. So, I mean, that's kind of a change from what we heard. So, I guess Marvel's doing it, and it's being distributed through Sony?
That, I think, would probably be the best scenario for everyone, because, let's face it, Sony has not done very well lately making Spider-Man movies.
It just seems like every time we bring up a Spider-Man story,
this deal is getting worse all the time.
Or it's just constantly changing. So I don't know about worse, but it's definitely changing.
Well, we didn't know what the particulars were when they announced that Spider-Man would join the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right. Technically, we still don't know.
Yeah. Now, if it means that Marvel Studios is producing and Sony is distributing, I think that's kind of a win-win scenario, because Sony does not have to sink more money into Spider-Man just yet, and Marvel gets an opportunity to do the wall crawler right.
True. Now, to carry on from Quesada, he was asked what he thought was the main things he feels is most important to making a successful Spider-Man film. And in his answer, Quesada tipped his cards, stating, "The trick to making any incarnation of Spider-Man great, whether comics, animation, or film, is Peter Parker. Get Peter's character right, and the rest falls into place." Now, it was, I forgot who said it, but they also said, too, you don't need to tell the origin story. It's been done twice. Just pick up with the current story, move on from there. Don't need to do flashbacks, don't need to do anything else. Spider-Man, go. He's already there.
I agree. So, Mac?
Yeah?
Do you need to see another Spider-Man origin story?
No.
Do you know how Spider-Man got his powers?
By a radioactive spider.
Yes, okay. See, this random 12-year-old knows who Peter Parker is and how he got his powers. No need for another origin movie.
No. Don't think so. If we do...
Mom! No, that's only if we're talking about fantastic plot movies. But seriously, though, no, you don't need another origin movie. You don't really need anything like that. Just say, hey, I'm your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. You know the story. Let's move on. But here's my question. When Quesada was asked about what makes a Spider-Man story, was he asked about Peter Parker at all? Or did he just volunteer Peter Parker when somebody mentioned Spider-Man?
He wasn't prompted, but yet he name-dropped the identity of Peter as if it's always going to be.
Okay, that's all I need to say right there.
So
I'm willing to take this as proof, because nobody's asking about Peter Parker specifically, but he's volunteering Peter Parker
right
as a vital component.
Well, it's also too, nothing says we're not going to get one or two more films with Peter and then all of a sudden jump to Miles Morales as well.
No, and we've had this conversation on our show in previous weeks, where it's like, start off with Peter Parker, throw a bone to the casual fans. If you want to kill off Peter at some point and then bring in Miles, you can do that. There's your reboot without having to reboot. But you know, that's my two cents on it.
Yeah, I don't see the you know, like you said, that's probably the best way to go. And you know, if everyone's wanting Miles so bad, I think the best way is let's get a couple movies in with him. You know, maybe a crossover. Maybe he doesn't die in a Spider-Man movie. Maybe he dies in another film where he's a guest.
Like, say, Captain America Civil War, maybe?
I think it's going to be too soon. Because Spider-Man doesn't come out until 2017. And I believe doesn't Cap come out next year?
Let me see. I think you're right. I think you're right. But I tell you what is coming out sooner than that. In fact, it's ongoing now. Would be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's tying into Captain America Civil War. An article on comicbookresources.com talking about really how Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is connecting to the other, you know, the Marvel properties.
Right.
Because we have at the mid-season finale before Agent Carter started out, you had you basically have Terrigenesis, which is like the releasing of Terrigen Mists that, you know, if you've got inhuman DNA in you, boom, is the catalyst for you to, you know, basically get powers.
Right.
And, you know, you have like Sky / Daisy / Quake now having these seismic powers that she can't control fully.
Right.
Which that's been a good twist for me, because you don't want to see, like, you have Steve Rogers as Captain America. Within about 5 minutes of him getting the super soldier serum, he's running at 60 miles an hour. He's jumping. He's, you know, carrying stuff, and you don't see how he learns to do all the things that he can do.
Right.
You saw it in Iron Man, where he's learning to fly and to work out all his suit gizmos and all that. So this to me is a good thing, where you see somebody who gets powers, but yet it is only learning how to control them. It was also good to see May's ex-husband come in, but that was just kind of like a side thing, kind of like the, well, who is the ex? Oh, well, it's this guy who played in Highlander 2. You got to see more characters that were, some of them are comic book canon, some of them are not. Like you've got Angnar the Screamer, which he was a character from, I think, Daredevil. You also have...
I can't remember what's her name with the razors.
Well, her name is Carla, but she... I don't know that she's really based on anybody in particular from the comic world. There was a minor character in Daredevil who was around for just a couple of three episodes. But she's not... Carla Faye Gideon is her name. But you see the difference between people with powers and people who are enhanced in other ways.
Right.
But... And they start differentiating this, and that's a good thing. Because now it's kind of like, well, we know what the difference is, and we are going to explore these differences. Because you've got Carla with the X-Acto knives, you know, basically sewn into her fingers. You've got Skye's dad, who basically became Mr. Hyde.
Right.
You have Francis, the mafia enforcer, who pretty much did the same thing. But you've also... You're setting the stage for the Index. And this, all this talk about the Index, this is where Civil War is going to come into fruition. Because you've got that Index. First of all, you're paring down the classifications on the Index between enhanced and gifted. And you're going to have more and more gifted coming in. And especially if we're reading some of the scenes in the Age of Ultron trailers correctly, it could be that there is a Terrigen bomb going off somewhere. Because you see people running from what looks to be a cloud of smoke. Well, what if this smoke is that Terrigen mist? In order to get Civil War to actually work, you've got to have a lot of superhumans. You've got to have a lot of inhumans. How do you make a lot of inhumans? You make a bomb and you spread these myths over a large area.
True.
Makes sense to do it in New York, because that's where most of your Marvel superheroes are. So now, with the Index, and the various classifications and bringing in all the Inhumans, S.H.I.E.L.D. is laying the seeds for the Superhero Registration Act.
Yep.
And this is where you're going to come in with Cap and Iron Man. You know, they're going to be squaring off on opposite sides of it, obviously. So, really, you're talking about like an origin movie? This is the origin movie for Civil War, and it's on TV.
I agree. Well, it's funny that you keep leading up to Civil War. Following the events of Avengers Age of Ultron, we have, you know, Captain America Civil War, with rumors claiming the end of the Avengers will mark the birth of a new team of Avengers. Fans should expect to see cameo appearances of the new Marvel characters in the next film. During Civil War, which comes out May 2016. Now, this article from International Business Times does contain some spoilers, potential spoilers. It is, you know, we know we'll see the return of Captain America, Iron Man, Black Widow, Hawkeye. We'll introduce Black Panther. That's already been said. The site further added that we'll also see brought back Scarlet Witch, Hulk, Thor, and War Machine, and introduce Wasp and a 14-year-old Peter Parker. So, along with Spider-Man, who previously has been confirmed to make his introduction in Captain America Civil War before his debut film, Scarlet Witch will also be making an appearance in the sequel. It is believed that by the end of the Avengers, she may already be an Avenger. So she's expected to star alongside some other returning characters, like War Machine, Captain America, and Winter Soldier.
You're seeing a lot of the West Coast team in this lineup.
And that makes me happy. So, as for Wasp, it is being contested that perhaps the character will indeed appear in the MCU, whether it's uncertain if it will be in Civil War or later down the road. The film is only listing down a lot of characters' names for cameos, as Civil War has been called Avengers 2.5.
Pretty much this is going to have to be really just cameo appearances, because you've got a list this long, you're not going to be able to do a whole lot with them.
Right. So, on that note, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the geek revolution. Want to know more?
The next generation is here.
Next phase, next stage, next grade, next wave.
The new Sorcerer Radio app, version 4.0.
Take your favorite Disney park music and SR shows with you everywhere you go.
The new Sorcerer Radio app, version 4.0.
There's a lot of satisfaction in developing ideas into realities.
We went back to the drawing board with an all-new design and features that you've been asking for.
To infinity and beyond!
All-new design, daily schedule page, Sorcerer Radio Disney news page, keep on screen, sleep timer, screen lock display, Bluetooth display, visual buffer, iOS 8 compatible, iPad compatible, optimized for the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, coming soon to Android.
And the best part, it's free.
The new Sorcerer Radio app, version 4.0.
Downloaded for free.
Thank you for traveling with us.
All Disney music all day long. Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
A magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and find new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at Meet the Magic, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
Woohoo! That was scary. Can we go again?
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No fast pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you. Always.
Getting ready for your next visit to Walt Disney World? Well, why not check out Disney Trip Tips Fridays at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites from the parks, resorts, movies, and TV, and the tips that the family and I have used on our many visits to Walt Disney World. And if you have any tips or photos you'd like to share, you can post them at the Disney Trip Tips Facebook page. You can even follow me on Twitter at Disney Trip Tips. Disney Trip Tips on Sorcerer Radio. All Disney music all day long. SR Sounds.
Hi, I'm Tony.
And I'm Krista. Tune into our show, Stars and Motor Cars, Saturday afternoons at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio.
Every week you'll hear us chat with Disney legends, Imagineers, and actors like Pat Carroll, the voice of Ursula.
And I help?
Yes, I do.
Disney legend and Imagineer Bob Gurr.
Pedro Hare, the voice of Belle.
Feast! Disney Resort TV's Stacey J. Oswald.
And author Ridley Pearson.
And Bill Farmer, the voice of Goofy.
Something wrong here.
And so many more. You'll also hear your favorite Disney Parks Parade music.
Follow us on Twitter at Disney Podcaster and on Facebook.com/Disney Parks Podcast.
To get even more Disney fun, download our sister show, the Disney Parks Podcast, on iTunes. Tune in to Stars and Motor Cars, presented by the Disney Parks Podcast. Saturday afternoons at 6 p.m. Eastern,
3 p.m. Pacific, only on Sorcerer Radio.
SRSounds.com.
Hi, this is Jason Aaron, writer of Thor and Star Wars, and you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks.
And welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks. It's Eric, Mike, and of course we're joined this week by the altered clone, Mac. I guess before we go any further, did they ever swear you in when you became an agent in training?
No, I don't think so.
We'll get to that later.
Well, actually, we can do it right now. If you raise your right hand.
Your repeat. Other right hand. Oh, that is your right hand. Never mind.
Repeat after us.
Hail Hydra!
Hail Hydra!
Never mind. Don't have to do that.
Okay. And I want to hear him do it.
No.
You're no fun anymore.
Do you really want me to do it?
Yes, I really want you to do it.
Hail Hydra. Better. Much better.
Much better. All right.
So
okay, one of the things that we like doing together, me and my son here, is play Disney Infinity, is particularly the new 2.0 as it applies to Marvel. So what is who is your favorite character in 2.0?
I would like to either Iron Fist or Nova.
Iron Fist or Nova. Okay. Well, you know, next week we'll be able to pick up Loki and Falcon.
Didn't know they were going to come out with Falcon.
Hey, they're coming out with Falcon.
I got that.
Thank you.
I got the impression of that.
Okay. Now you know who Falcon is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He's he was in Captain America: Winter Soldier.
Yeah, and he got a tech from Iron Fist.
He also has been in the comics. He came into Captain America comics the year I was born.
Huh.
So he has been around for over 40 years, and fans of diversity in comics love this guy because, well, he is, and right now in the comics, he is the new Captain America.
Yeah, in Avengers Assemble, he actually gets his tech from Tony Stark. He was his assistant.
Okay. Well, he was also in the Ultimate Spider-Man show.
I remember that.
Okay. Well, it's good that you remember that, because the design for Falcon in Disney Infinity comes from the Ultimate Spider-Man TV show. And people have asked that question.
Why?
As for why, and not the Winter Soldier version. When Avalanche Games, this is an article that appeared on Mashable.com. So Avalanche Games is the developers of Disney Infinity. They began working on Falcon's design, and Disney suggested using the Ultimate Spider-Man version as inspiration. Jeff Bunker, Vice President of Art Development for Avalanche, said, when we create any Infinity figure, we want the most iconic and appealing version we can find of that character. The version we think the fans of that character will appreciate the most. We have found over the many figures we have done that when we listen to the creators of the characters and make them happy, that we will ultimately make the fans happy. I thought that's a good perspective, don't you?
Maybe.
Yeah, so you have, you know, the person who created Falcon, I guess. Can't remember who that was, actually.
Disney.
No, it was not Disney.
I mean,
it
was before.
It was Marvel. Yeah. Somebody at Marvel. Yes.
Yeah, give me
give me a second. I'll find it.
Right. He's been an Avenger, so he's, you know, that's why he's on Avengers Assemble. But he said there was some desire for me personally to do the Captain America version of Falcon, the Winter Soldier version, because I thought they did a great job on the design of his film costume. I would agree. He said it was hard to justify, though, because although it was really cool, he didn't fit into the three Marvel families that we were already supporting in the game, that being Avengers, Ultimate Spider-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy. So it makes sense that the Falcon in Infinity would be the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, it does, when you think about it.
Now, you could also change his costume with the Ultimate Falcon Power Disc, just like you can do with Spider-Man and Iron Fist and Captain America. So that's a cool idea. It's almost like you're getting an additional character.
Yeah, except same thing, except different. Yeah.
Falcon was created by Stan Lee and Gene Colan in September 1969.
There you go. So I wonder just how much Stan Lee has played a role in development of these Infinity figures. If they said, you know, they go to the creators and you listen to the creators, you get their input. It makes you wonder. This is not a story that's really been reported since Infinity came out.
Right.
You just have to wonder, though, how much did Stan the Man, you know, how much feedback was he able to give up? But they do go on to say that while plenty of heroes in this version of Disney Infinity have the power of flight, which really is something that there wasn't a lot of in the first version.
There wasn't any.
Falcon's wings posed an extra challenge for the development team, especially as characters are given the consistent, simplified look of the figure. I mean, it's supposed to look like an action figure. It's not supposed to look like the actual character. In terms of musculature and stuff like that. He said it was really difficult for us to figure out the right balance for his wings. We tested his wings in two ways. One version had the wings coming from his arms, which is pretty much like it is in the comics, and one version had them coming from a pack on his back. We landed on the pack so we can make them look like more realistic wings from all angles. It does say, the article does say, that Falcon's appearance in the game does not necessarily indicate whether or not he'll make an appearance in Age of Ultron, although a few sites have pointed out that Anthony Mackie, who's the guy who played him in Winter Soldier, he is on Age of Ultron's IMDb page as part of the cast. So I think that's a pretty strong indication there, wouldn't you?
I would think, the characters that we've seen hero-wise in the last few films, War Machine supposedly making an appearance, whether it's War Machine or Iron Patriot, I don't know, Falcon, Winter Soldier, I think they're going to make some sort of cameo. Even if it's not until the end of the movie, I think there's going to be a cameo in Age of Ultron, especially if it's going to help set up this new Avengers team that's being rumored and set up Civil War.
I think you're onto it.
Now, me personally, I got a hair disappointed in the Winter Soldier when we didn't see Falcon in the red and white. In that look.
Well, that's because it was more of a spur of the moment, pressed into service version. I mean, it's military hardware, so it's not going to be garish red and white. It's going to be military colors. Now, when we see him again, especially if after, you know, hey, the wing pack got, you know, got busted. No problem. Here's my friend Tony. He'll make some adjustments. Tony, we all know, is about the color.
Right.
So, yeah, you see a Stark Tech version of the Falcon outfit, the Falcon suit. Yeah, it's going to have some red on it.
Yeah, I'd rather see a lot more red than a lot more white. I almost want to see the red and white reversed. Especially with the wings.
I can see that.
Especially with the wings, so they kind of blend in with the clouds a little bit, so it kind of camouflage the profile some. But I think it's cool that they've gone with the red and white for Disney Infinity, though.
Oh, yeah.
So, sorry, I'm going back to my old Mego days as a kid.
I know where you're going.
And that's when DC and Marvel lived together in every kid's home. Now, Mego were like these 8-inch superhero dolls. You see replicas of them coming out now with a bunch of different stuff.
Old school action figures, about 8 inches tall, that were wearing actual fabric costumes.
And
they were like Barbie dolls for guys, for boys.
Yep. Definitely took care of Ken with no problem. One fell swoop.
Oh, yeah.
Always got Barbie. Okay, in the circles I played with a kid. Yeah. Spider-Man always got the girl. So did Thor. Then again, so did Riddler as well. So, but speaking of the lack of effect on Mac, of us talking about vintage toys, Secret Wars in the comic side is actually going to take a slightly different turn. Gabriel from Marvel, I can't remember his first name. Anyhow, David Gabriel, there we go, has addressed the curiosity and confusion surrounding what exactly is going to happen with Secret Wars. This article is from Comic Book Resources, and you know, they talk about there'll be a number of titles reaching what they're calling the 616 finale, which, if they change the universe, airtime of this show as a podcast changes as well, maybe.
Please let's just hope that it's like the ultimate universe is being absorbed into the 616.
You know, I might keep it at 616 as a tribute to the original Marvel universe.
Sounds good.
So, in a perfect world, according to Gabriel, in a perfect world, we have stopped every book with its April issue, putting out a nice clean May preview catalog. Everyone would have seen up front all those titles that had their finale, that those titles were starting fresh. But things don't always go easily. Instead, we gave our creators the option to end their stories the way they wanted to, let them tell last day's stories if they wanted to, let them tell Secret Wars stories if they wanted to. So in the end, Secret Wars truly has been a creative-driven process. David also continues to provide a list of series which will come to a conclusion as a result of Secret Wars. And here's the list. All New Captain America, which just started.
Yeah.
All New Ghost Rider. All New X-Men. Amazing Spider-Man, Amazing X-Men, Angela, Asgard's Assassin,
thankfully.
Avengers, Avengers World, which I'm not sorry to see Avengers World go, Captain Marvel, Cyclops, Deadpool.
Bye-bye, son.
No!
The groans of a 12-year-old.
No, you gotta do more back and through.
No!
Okay,
no better. Elektra. Fantastic Four, which we knew that one was coming.
Yeah.
Guardians 3000, Guardians of the Galaxy, Hulk, Inhuman, Iron Fist, The Living Weapon, Legendary Star-Lord, Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man, New Avengers, Nightcrawler, Nova, Rocket Raccoon, Secret Avengers, Spider-Man and the X-Men, Spider-Man 2099, Storm, Superior Iron Man, Thor, Uncanny X-Men, which surprises me because they're leaving Uncanny Avengers. That one just issue 2 is either just come out or about to come out. I want to say it's already out. Yes, two is out, three's coming in April. Wolverines and X-Men. And Secret Wars number one, which Gabriel states is on track to surpass 500,000 in sales, arrives in May.
500, half a million copies.
Half a million dollars.
Which is not going to be half a million copies.
Probably not.
No.
I'm guessing the book first issue is probably going to be a $4.99 book. So let's go 500,000 divided by 4.99.
That's probably going to be like 100,000 print run.
100,200. So yeah, we'll round down to 100,000.
Yeah, probably so.
So if we go $3.99, that's going to be what, 125 maybe?
Something like that.
So, 3.99. Yeah, 125. So, yeah, a lot of books.
Yeah, that's still a crap load of them.
Yeah, but it's nothing like what Star Wars is doing.
Oh, good Lord, no. Am I the only one? Now, I can't be the only one. Because when Marvel first had, you know, was doing the Star Wars comics, I was getting this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was in Hobby Lobby about a week or two ago, and I saw where they had, you know, the metal signs that were, yep, that are the covers of the old, of the old one. And I was just like, I had that book when I was Max age, you know, or I had that when I was younger.
Again.
Yes. And two of them are up on the wall in your bedroom. Yes. The training continues. But I'm just getting this thrill that Marvel is once again doing Star Wars. And, of course, we had writer Jason Aaron on the show, and that was a blast and a half to do.
Oh, that was awesome.
Now, in addition to Princess Leia, to Darth Vader, to Star Wars, Marvel has announced Star Wars The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire. That's what the prequel. It's called Journey to Star Wars The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire. And that's a long title, but yes, just as it suggests, it is aimed at exploring the period between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens, which is what, 20, 30 years?
Yeah, 30 years.
Yeah, 30 years. No specifics were revealed. This comes to us from IGN.com. No specifics were revealed as far as story direction or creative team, but Marvel did debut a teaser image from artist Phil Noto. Just looking at the title, looking at the image, it is picking up pretty much where Return of the Jedi left off, with the Empire in disarray after the destruction of the second Death Star and the Rebel Alliance celebrating their hard-won victory on Endor. And depending on which version of the movie you're watching, it's either serenaded by a bunch of Ewoks singing Yub Yub, or it's some kind of new John Williams-produced in-montage audio. But anyway, you figure this series is going to focus on the central characters from the original trilogy, Han, Luke, Leia, and the others. But, you know, here's the problem, and this is where Lucasfilm did the right thing by taking all of the expanded universe storylines and putting them in their own alternate universe, like the Ultimate Universe for Marvel.
Right.
And putting it into the Legends banner. So now, this new storyline, the new books, the new comic books, the new movies can all follow a new storyline, start fresh. Now, in order for that, Lucasfilm has announced 20 Star Wars tie-in books to be released before The Force Awakens this December.
Sure, yes.
Yes. At least 20 books and comics released this fall. Explore the 30-year period between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. Now, what does this have to do with Marvel? Well, aside from the Star Wars monthly title, the Princess Leia monthly title, the Darth Vader monthly title, and the Shattered... I'm sorry.
No. I was going to mention another one, but we'll save it.
Okay. The Shattered Empire, you're going to have that, and you're also going to have an untitled as yet series that will explore the post-Return of the Jedi time period from C-3PO's point of view.
That seems interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you've had it from Luke's perspective. You've had the prequels pretty much from Anakin's perspective. But, you know, C-3PO is one of the few characters that has been around for both trilogies. He's played major roles in many of the expanded universe, like in the Thrawn trilogy, which Mac is currently reading through, The Heir to the Empire. which is a good one.
Right.
You've got, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be an interesting take on it. Now, Shattered Empire number one will be released in September 2015. So it'll have about three issues before the movie debuts.
Okay. Yeah, I think, yeah, that makes sense. Because I know, I'm trying to remember with the original Marvel, Star Wars started with the movie. No, yes. First issue came out about 2-3 weeks before the movie.
Okay, but that was really just the novelization of the movie.
Right. But so, and it was a four issue adaptation, mm-hmm. but you already knew briefly the movie before it came out.
Yeah.
I think. Oh, I don't remember. That was 30-something years ago.
Why, yes. Yes, it was.
So, trying to think. 20 books, one. And, of course, that's spread between the novels and the comics.
Yeah, it's not going to all be comics. It's going to be novels, novelizations, young adult books. And even things like the Incredible Cross-X book. There's going to be Ships of the Galaxy.
Right.
A book about ships of space, spaceships in Star Wars. And I know I'm going to be grabbing that one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's quite a few. It's, I don't know.
Is it that time?
Is it that time?
Is it that time?
Oh, that's the wrong song, isn't it?
It might be.
Are you talking... It is that time. Sorry, I got distracted for a second because I was mentioned Yub Nub and I was trying to see if I actually had it. So, it is that time of the week again. It is Mighty Marvel Geek's new comic book picks of the week. And our picks for this week are no joke, folks, because new comic book day is April 1st. I went there.
Yeah.
Again.
I was going to have as one of my picks Lobo the Duck number 35. But yeah. I don't think that would have gone very well.
No. So, I think this week we're going to start the rotation with Mac.
I think that's a good idea. And now before the show, I did tell him about what we do here every week. We look over the Marvel comics that are going to be released on New Comic Book Day. In this case, yes, April Fool's Day. And we pick the three that we think are the most interesting out of the bunch. So, Mac, why don't you tell us what your first pick is?
My first pick will be Return of the Living Deadpool, which will be published on April 1st, 2015.
Okay.
And it says, a planet overrun by Deadpool. What could be the danger? What could the danger be?
If you only knew. Tommy's
sore laughing. Overdose of Ossos, maybe? Could it be you can have too much of good things?
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so your first pick is Night of the Living Deadpool number 3. Got it.
And Eric, your first pick of the week.
My first pick of the week is going to be The Punisher number 17, written by Nathan Edmondson and artist Mitchell Gerrits. The Punisher versus Captain America in the nation's capital. The Punisher sees justice done, but his vigilantism won't be ignored anymore. Has Frank finally come up against a force he can't match?
Well, I have to see. My first pick of the week is George Romero's Empire of the Dead, Act 3, number 1. Here I go again with the obscure.
You wouldn't be you otherwise.
True. Writer is George Romero. Penciler, Andrea Muti. It's zombies versus vampires with desperate citizens caught in the crossfire as the legendary George Romero unleashes the final chapter in his new undead epic, Zombie Autopsy. But is Xavier dead or undead? Dr. Penny Jones may have a nasty surprise coming her way. Who is kidnapping the children of New York City? Where are they taking them and why? The future of Manhattan may rest in the answers.
Your second pick is?
My second pick is Avengers Ultron Forever Issue 1. Published April 1st, 2015. Same thing as Deadpool. Cover artist is Alan Davis.
He's good.
Part 1 of 3. The start of a 3-part Avengers event. 500 years into the future, Ultron has won. Humanity is all but extinct. Dead or enslaved by Ultron, singularity. Now seven Avengers are brought through time by Doctor Doom to battle the machine God for the fate of the cosmos or die trying. It begins here, an epic adventure spanning the past and future of the Avengers. Bum bum bum.
Okay. Mine is Iron Fist, The Living Weapon, number 11, written by Kerr Andrews, penciled by Kerr Andrews, and cover artist Kerr Andrews. Iron Fist's biggest battle yet. Two titans collide. A new powerhouse enters the fray. Life or death? Once again, the choice must be made.
My second pick is Avengers Millennium, number 1. At a secret Hydra installation hidden away in rural Japan, the Avengers discover a time portal that sends them on an adventure that spans millennia. But what kind of bad guys have a time machine that they don't use to change the past? Bad guys who know they win. The only thing standing in our immutable past and our wasted, ruined future are the Avengers, finally reunited to battle a doomsday weapon thousands of years in the hatchling. So, on to our third picks.
Okay.
Guardians of the Galaxy, best story ever, issue 1. It's not every day Peter Quill ends up in jet... Wait, never mind. This happens a lot. But he doesn't always get rockets stuck there with him. He definitely doesn't always regale the guards with the best story ever. Let us hope he keeps their attention long enough for the Guardians, other Guardians to bust.
Okay, that was a pretty good choice. My third pick of the week kind of ties into that a little bit with Rocket Raccoon number 10. As the finest gun-wielding, pickpocketing, smack-talking raccoon there is, only he doesn't know what a raccoon is, Rocket's skills are going to get put to the ultimate test. Is he really alone? Find out once and for all.
Well, my final pick of the week is Kanan, The Last Padawan, number 1. The fourth title in the Star Wars Marvel Universe. Kanan Jarrus in Star Wars Rebels. He's cocky, sarcastic, renegade fighting against... He's a cocky, sarcastic renegade fighting against the Galactic Empire alongside the ragtag crew of the Ghost. But years before, at the height of the Clone Wars, he was known as Caleb Doom, Jedi Padawan under the instruction of Jedi Master Depa Bilaba. Neither Master nor Apprentice ever suspected that the clone troopers they command would turn on them upon the issuing of Order 66, the order to evacuate all Jedi. How did Caleb Doom survive? How did he learn to survive on his own? How did he become the man we know as Kanan Jarrus? Writer Greg Wiseman and artist Pepe Larez bring us a tale bridging the years between the Clone Wars and Rebels.
So, well, okay.
So that's our 9 picks for this week.
Normally you only get 6. Here it's like 50% bonus because we like you.
We really, really do. So I think that's going to wrap it up for us this week. I want to thank Mac for sitting in third chair this week. Still agent in training, and third stall is still backed up.
Your shield issue plunger will be given to you shortly.
Okay, I'll be waiting.
It's a wood handle with round rubber on it. Yeah. So
I know what a plunger is.
But it's got the shield logo on it, which makes it better.
Yeah, it makes it a million times better. Yeah.
So, where can they find you on the interwebs?
Okay, they can find me on the interwebs on Twitter at Uncle Servo, all one word.
Okay. And of course we find you on Sorcerer Radio doing the Sorcom review.
Yes.
As well.
And for more Disney centric stories, you find me on Twitter at Sorcom Review. Also on Facebook at facebook.com/Sorcom Review.
Find me at Mighty Marvel Geeks on Facebook. Mind was going one way, mouth was one go another. On Twitter at Marvel Geeks. Let me get it right. And of course, any questions, comments, books that you would like to see us mention or talk about as your recommendations for New Comic Book Day, email us at mmg@weebiegeeks.net. So,
And you can also find Mighty Marvel Geeks on Facebook.
I did say that.
You did say that?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's kind of like when Drax was saying, you know, I just saved Quill.
True.
I'm going to call that a Drax moment now. It's a Drax moment where I wasn't listening. I was thinking of something else.
It is a Drax moment. So, anything else from you guys?
No, I think that's pretty much got it.
Jarvis, if you will.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nope. Time to go dark. We'll be right back.